Today's podcast features students from Needham High School, Durfee High School in Fall River, Bridgewater State University, and UMass Amherst, as they share how the statewide school shutdown has affected their educational programs.
That's all being, like, that opportunity is being taken away from me, and it feels almost fake to have these classes on Zoom.
Their extracurricular activities.
For dance, I mean, it's kind of bizarre doing ballet in my hallway.
And how the COVID-19 coronavirus may create a new normal in the future.
So, you know, if I have to take class in my basement until Christmas, that would probably not be great.
This podcast was created by JFY Networks, a Boston-based nonprofit provider of remote learning programs to schools, students, and parents. JFY's individualized self-paced curricula help raise individual and school performance measures by maintaining grade-level skills and combating learning loss. JFY provides online ELA and math curricula aligned to state and college standards from grade 6 through high school, with personal support online and via phone from friendly instructional coaches like yours truly. For JFY Networks, I'm Greg Cunningham. Chris and Jaren are juniors at Durfee High School in Fall River. They explain how their switch to distance learning happened with little warning.
One of the things with the coronavirus is that it kind of came up unexpectedly. And a lot of us high school students, we didn't really expect it to affect us the way it is now. As of right now, especially in Fall River and all nearby cities in Massachusetts, we are doing mostly online work.
Yeah, so as for Durfee at least, a lot of our stuff is on Google Classroom now, and it's pretty hard for us to actually get anything done, because you can't really learn new work without being with in-class sessions, you know? So I think that this is going to really drastically affect the rest of our high school.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it's to the point where sometimes our teachers are posting, at least one teacher is posting every other day, and then sometimes teachers are posting every day, and then you have that one teacher that's posting, like, a packet of work per week, and they're expecting you to get that all done, and they're not time management, because now that they're assigning more work than what we usually would do in class, now it's taking up more time outside of school than we would do, like, during school hours.
I think that I'm not going to say it's not completely right for them to be assigning work for us. Obviously, we need to be getting something done, but the way that it should be more coordinated. So we should have something for math, English, because a lot of it now is just every teacher has their own, they submit their own stuff. So you could have there'll be days where you have six assignments, and there'll be like 4 days in a row where you'll have nothing, right?
Exactly. Like, even my math teacher, she's been giving us work every single day, but she's been giving us, like, six different parts of that work every day. And then my English teacher's been expecting us to read, like, a chapter per every week. And, like, even my science teacher, I haven't gotten anything from him yet. And he said he might not give us anything until we get back. So it's, like, it's a game. Like, that's how it really is. You don't know when they're going to give it to you or what they're going to give it to you, and they don't know really how to time management because they're not in touch like we are.
Technology, as Chris and Jaren point out, is a major factor as to whether students can successfully continue learning until the end of this academic year.
And what about the people that don't have technology at home? I feel like that's one of the big things here, too.
Yeah, like, for instance, there's one of our mutual friends. He, all last year, didn't really have Wi-Fi at his house and stuff, and he really couldn't do that. And so with him trying to do all this schoolwork, I have a feeling that he's not going to be able to get it all done because the library's closed. All our, like, means of using Wi-Fi, like free Wi-Fi, like the libraries and, like, going to McDonald's and Dunkin' Donuts, you can't do that right now because of the quarantine. They're not allowing it because you can't be in a group setting of 25 or more people, and you can't be in, like, a fast food restaurant. They're not open. They're only open for takeout or the drive-thru, you know?
Evan, a senior at Durfee High School, explains how he has been able to stay in touch with his teachers after the school closed in March, but how inconsistent communication has presented challenges to learning and worry about how it will impact grades.
It's been quite difficult. I still have contact with the teachers by the app called Zoom. It's a video call app, but it's just once a week, and most of the times I'm not available at that time that they are available. And when I do, I don't understand that much of the work, and it's been challenging. So since we do not have a term 4 going, there's not gonna be a term four this year. They're just extending term three. All of the assignments that they put out, they are required. And if you just don't do them, then it's gonna really affect your grades and possibly won't graduate. Other teachers, they post work every day, and it's due by the end of the week.
Henry is a senior at Needham High School and realizes this ending to his high school career will be anything but normal.
Senior year, you know, we go through senior fall, and I hate to, I don't want to like be a fear monger, but in my opinion, it was as bad, if not worse, than junior spring, at least for me. And then, you know, we get through all the hard stuff, and basically right when it's supposed to get good, you know, right when everything we did for the last 4 years is supposed to like be okay, and we can just, you know, enjoy being with our friends, that's when the pandemic happens. So I think the general mood for a lot of people in my grade is just sort of, you know, sadness mixed with bitterness. We did everything that everyone else did, except we probably won't have a prom. We won't have a traditional graduation. We won't have a bunch of senior events that typically make all that other stuff okay.
As Henry explains, schoolwork at least provides him with some way to pass the time.
My gov homework for this week will take me not even 15 minutes, whereas I think I'll be spending a lot of time doing random psych assignments. So, I don't know. I've seen a lot of people like complaining and saying like, oh, we would never have had 2 hours of homework without, you know, if it was normal school. But honestly, it keeps me busy, so I can't really complain.
Ian, a junior at Durfee High School, explains trying to pass the time while not going to school is one of the hardest parts of the school shutdown.
For some of us, i.e. me, that is hard to do because I like to do things a lot. I can't really sit still. I've done video games, I've played card games, board games, done some crafts, I've tried to watch videos, and I've done it successfully, but after a while, they just get boring. So you kind of ponder on what you want to do and how boring that is. I'm extremely bored with it because I've already done it all. I've done it all to the point where it's like beating a dead horse. And I'm just trying to find something, but I can't. And I know everybody is probably going to be like, oh, why don't you read a book? That would be cool if I could find a book that I like. See, the problem with that is I don't read a lot in the first place, but I also haven't found a lot of books that pique my interest.
Maggie is a junior at Needham High School, a time when there is often great anxiety about classwork. Now, as she explains, that anxiety has shifted.
This is obviously not an ideal scenario. Definitely not my favorite thing that's happened. I feel like as a junior, this is supposed to be the time when we're kind of really doing the most work. It's supposed to be one of the most stressful times of high school. And it's kind of weird because it's really not stressful in the traditional ways. Like, we're not as stressed about AP exams because they're kind of irrelevant at this point. I know for me, like, I had spent a lot of time prepping for the March SAT, like a lot of time. And when that got canceled, that was like honestly one of the things that bummed me out the most because I felt like I had put a lot of time and effort into that and I don't get to show my effort there. I had tons of college tours canceled. I'm actually supposed to be seeing Northwestern right now, like on campus right now. But obviously I'm not there. So that kind of stinks because we won't get to see as many schools, but hopefully we'll get to see them next year.
Sasha is also a junior at Needham High School and worries about the work they are currently completing and how it feels fake.
I, like Maggie, was supposed to take the March SAT, and I definitely didn't study as much as Maggie did, but I still needed to take that test because for obvious reasons, like college admissions. And then it got canceled. Seeing that the June SAT also got canceled and being so uncertain about how that's going and seeing that SAT may be online now, it's just freaking me out so much because, as Maggie mentioned, college admissions is a huge thing for all the juniors. And a lot of schools haven't gone test optional yet. Some schools are, but it's a lot of uncertainty around that specific area of like the college admissions process. Also, Maggie touched on this too. Junior spring is supposed to be this like really intense, really hard part of junior year, and you're supposed to get a ton of work done. And I was really looking forward to that. And just seeing all of this effort that I'm going to put into junior spring pay off in the end. And now
that's all being, like, that opportunity is being taken away from me. And it feels almost fake to have these classes on Zoom and, like, do this work that doesn't feel as real and see, like, 45-minute long AP exams replacing 3-hour tests that we were supposed to take. And I feel really bad for the kids who paid a ton of money for AP exams and now aren't going to be able to take, like, the real deal tests. So all of that just makes it feel like we're not ending up in a place where we're supposed to be because we're not putting as much effort in. And classes are definitely super, super weird right now.
Abby, a member of the Needham High School junior class, worries not just about classes, but about this seemed lack of control she now has over her own learning.
And it's just this big, like, black cloud of uncertainty around everything and anything. And yeah, classes just haven't been the same, especially I don't like the way that our school personally has really dealt with it. We're not doing as much as, like, I feel like there's a middle ground that just really hasn't been reached and there's no, like, right solution for every school.
Cheyenne is a freshman at UMass Amherst and shows the contrast between high school and college structure and the distance learning expectations he is currently experiencing in his classes.
I guess as a freshman right now, or as a first year, like second semester, first year student, a lot of my classes at UMass Amherst are already pretty big. So none of them are like synchronous Zoom classes. So that's been pretty easy because I've just been able to, you know, whenever in the day that I wake up, I can just go on, switch on the lecture, take my notes, do what I need to do for the week, like schedule out my week however I need to. I personally have been just following what I've been doing at school just to keep it easy. Same number of classes I would do back on campus. I'm just sticking to that same schedule. It's been, I guess, because, you know, I've been in the lecture setting, you know, like for the past 2 semesters, it hasn't been that different, like just going to, you know, watching the lecture and then taking notes just on my laptop, like next to it or something. That hasn't been so bad. I guess like being able to interact with the professor, obviously, like you can't do that. I've been trying to take advantage of the office hours that my professors put up on Zoom. It's been as close to like going as you can get to like going to normal, like normally seeing your professors. Again, I think Zoom is a pretty good platform for that. It's pretty easy to just like hop on the call whenever you need. And yeah, but other than that, like obviously you can't replicate what you get on campus. So it's been tougher to learn, but I've been making the best of it, I think. Like as best as you can make of it, I think, in the situation.
Alyssa is a senior at Bridgewater State University and realizes she is lucky to be taking a smaller workload to end her college career.
I'm lucky. I only have 3 classes. I have my seminar class, which talks about what's going on in our internship. I have my community intervention class, and I have my stress management class for my health elective. So I'm lucky. I don't have too many classes, and the workload's not too bad. However, I'm only speaking for myself. I know a lot of my friends who currently have 5-6 classes that have now gone completely online, and it's a lot of work. I think professors and teachers need to take into consideration that a lot of our assignments that we originally had planned and a lot of the objectives we had to meet for the curriculum this semester aren't going to be met because of this, because there's only so much you can do at home. So I really hope that teachers take that into consideration when assigning assignments and giving students a workload, because students don't just have one teacher in one class. We have multiple classes. So
education is only one aspect affected by the school shutdown. Chris and Jaren discussed the loss of the sports spring season due to the cancellation of school for the rest of the year.
We were supposed to have spring season right now, and as of right now, we're not having a spring season. We are out of school, and it was supposed to start. It was supposed to start a while ago.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what was the plan? I know some of the coaches were talking about having scrimmages, but
yeah. But the only thing is with we can't really have scrimmages right now because obviously the coronavirus. But after even then, maybe they might have practices and scrimmages, but it's a waiting game. Are we even going to have a spring season?
I don't think they're going to be able to have scrimmages because of the no groups of 10 people or more.
Exactly, I agree. They're probably not. I don't see how they're going to be able to do that.
I think it's all just hypothetical.
Evan is a senior and will miss out being part of the Durfee High School volleyball team for his final year of high school. And this may have an impact on his future college plans.
Also, I'm not so worried but sad because I do play volleyball, so all the sports have been canceled, and I play volleyball because it can give me a scholarship to a college, and also I like it. So it can give me a scholarship to a college and just help me out. And it still can help me, but I'm not going to experience what I like because of this whole thing going around, because it's my senior year and I want to be able to play sports and do my own thing.
But it's not just sports that are being impacted by the shutdown. Other extracurricular activities have also been impacted, as Maggie, Sasha, and Abby all explain.
For dance, I mean, it's kind of bizarre doing ballet in my hallway. Definitely really not ideal in that sense. And we're pretty sure we're not going to have a performance at the end of the year. And that really sucks because it's basically our one show we get a year and we put a lot of time and effort into that.
So I know it's not as bad for me as a junior as it would be for like Henry, because it's his senior year, but States was something I was really looking forward to. And the tournament we host at our school is something I was really, really looking forward to, because I think as a team, that's something we love and we value a lot, that experience. So we kind of lost that, and it just makes the season feel like it never really ended in a way that it should have. And NSDAs, the National Speech and Debate Association tournament, are canceled as well. And they're going to be put online. And I know that NSDAs is the one tournament I was really, really looking forward to this year, because I had actually qualified this year by myself and I wanted to like break and see myself be successful in an event I had really started this year. And I can't really do that anymore. And I'm really scared about the way that's going to work, because it's online Zoom calls for exempt speaking. So it's just really scary going into that without knowing what to do.
And as a performing arts student as well, all of my activities, you know, our spring musical got canceled like 2 days before we were supposed to open. A member of an a cappella group, chorus in school, it's just really hard for us as a community because you really can't do anything. Like there are some other clubs, it's hard for our athletics as well, but like there are some other clubs that it's not great, but you can kind of figure it out more remotely. But, you know, music and theater, you can't really put things together. So it's just been really stressful. And just on the social aspect of it too, you know, like I miss seeing people and I miss my friends. And I think just the scariest thing is like, obviously no one knows when it's going to be over and what that means, kind of what that entails. So I've been like thinking about like, what if we don't get a senior year? What if we don't get a freshman year of college? And like all of this work, everything that we've done for 12 years that we've kind of been like looking forward to and like promised to have for next year, we don't even know if that's in play. And it's just not a good situation for anyone.
But with all of the issues surrounding the COVID-19 coronavirus shutdown of schools, there are some positive outcomes on which students can focus, as Alyssa and Brianna, a senior at Durfee High School, explain.
Well, I think the assignments going online and classes going online have showed me that there is other ways to doing classes. Oftentimes we only say, oh, you can only do it this way in person or this way online or whatever the case may be. But I think when it comes to getting creative and doing what we have to do, there are endless amounts of possibilities to how a class can be run.
Alyssa hopes that some creative approaches will emerge for use in the future.
Well, I think that some positives are that we're learning to be better humans.
More independent.
More independent, more compassionate, more open-minded, more mindful of other human beings. Opposed to what we see online and social media, I feel like we're really learning how to be human again. And that may sound weird because we're plugging in digitally and people say that technology is like the worst thing that could happen to human interaction. However, I feel like we're going to be able to grow close bonds and have human connections again because of this.
The students at Needham High School also ponder what the future may look like for them.
Like, I think it's going to be like, I mean, I hope we go back to school in September. I mean, I think they're going to have to figure something out at some point because they can't keep kids out of school for like a year and a half. That's just,
there's no way.
Not feasible for a variety of reasons, like not the least of which is like some low-income students need to go to school for food and all sorts of things. So like, I think they're going to figure something out, but like in other countries, they're doing like kids have to like come to school, but they have to like wear masks and like their desks are 6 feet apart, but like our school doesn't have the capacity to like, yeah, our school doesn't have the capacity to have desks 6 feet apart. So like, it could be kind of
strange. I don't really know what it's going to look like.
They also recognize there is a great disparity in learning based on economic factors.
Like, I live in a neighborhood with a ton of younger kids, and they're all sort of playing outside and interacting with each other, which is definitely pretty scary considering the fact that we're supposed to be social distancing. But also, these kids really rely on school for that kind of, like, for the entire education. Obviously, everybody relies on school for education, but the environment here is somewhere where, like, kids aren't getting that sort of academic stimulus from their parents or their families as much as wealthier kids are, and they're just kind of, like, left to roam around outside. And it's just kind of sad to see that those kids are missing out so much on the academic opportunities that going to the schools here would offer them.
Henry worries what the beginning of his college career may look like at George Washington University in Washington, D.C.
Missing, you know, the first half of my freshman year would obviously not be ideal. One of the things that I've always looked forward to about college was really not being in Needham, I guess. No offense to Needham, but I've always just wanted to, like, you know, go out, be in a different place, especially with, like, being going to be at GW with that, like, city atmosphere. I was really looking forward to that and seeing what, like, living in an area like that would be. So, you know, if I have to take class in my basement until Christmas, that would probably not be great.
One of the legendary courses for juniors at Needham High School is AP U.S. History, commonly referred to as APUSH by students. The students lament the inability to finish the course and learn about the most recent occurrences in U.S. history.
This is a cool thing about APUSH, but I vividly remember sitting in a Starbucks with Cheyenne and him asking me what I was excited for junior year, and I just stared at him for a minute and I couldn't come up with an answer. And then later that night I texted him, I was like, I'm excited for APUSH. Like, I want to finish that class, and now we don't get that. And that was like, that was my favorite class. I was so passionate about that class. I love it. I love the teacher. I love the content. And I was just so happy to be taking that class, even though it was kind of hell.
Yeah, like post AP test, APUSH was actually so chill.
I was so excited for that. Me too. Now I'm not going to learn about the actual part of history I really was curious about. Like, post 1945 was all I really wanted to get to in the content. Okay. And that's not on the AP exam, so we're not going to learn that.
However, their study of history has certainly taught them they are living in truly historic times and realize the materials they produce today will help those who study history in the future understand what it was like living during a time of a pandemic virus.
I mean, I think it's weird that, like, this is all going to be, like, hypothetically used as, like, primary sources in the future because we're living through, like, this huge major historical event. Like, all the TikToks that you see, all, like, these funny things that we're all, and, like, making this podcast, all these things that we're doing to try to, like, spread information or, like, cope with what's happening are going to, like, end up being the resources that in, like, 100 years kids are going to be using, like, on their DBQs on the APUSH exam for, like, 20, like, 90 or something. And I think that's kind of interesting.
Are APUSH teachers making us keep a journal, or, like, a primary source journal, and, like, document our experience with the COVID-19 crisis? So that's pretty interesting. And every time I'm writing it, I just think about all the times I've had to analyze the primary source of that class and how I hated how it was written.
And how many times I've judged the person.
As easy as possible to understand. Yeah.
We hope this podcast has given you useful insights into the lives of students during the COVID-19 coronavirus school shutdown. We thank all the students from UMass Amherst, Bridgewater State University, and Durfee and Needham High Schools for joining us on this month's podcast. If you have any comments or questions, feel free to navigate to our website, www.jfynet.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube. Thank you for joining us. I'm Greg Cunningham. This has been a production of JFY Networks.